One Winter's Night by Kylie Dunbar and read by Lois Chimimba for Saga Egmont. Chapter 1. The seasons alter. Hoary-headed frosts fall in the fresh lap of the crimson rose. A Midsummer Night's Dream. The autumn came in quickly this year. Even in early October, the leaves of the rowan trees in Kelsey's shared gardens at St. Ninian's Close are tinged golden brown. Gritty breezes gust down Henley Street, whipping past the house where, once upon a time, William Shakespeare was born. Chill morning dews make the grassy banks of the river even sparkle, and dawn mists settle over the subtle valley that the town nestles inside. Above its tangle of medieval streets, church spires, theatre turrets and flying flags, up on the gentle rises of the Wellcombe Hills, the brambles have swollen, fat and blushing on thorny boughs, and the blackbirds sing out that summer is over. Having worked as a tour guide pounding the streets of Stratford all summer long and getting to know its most beautiful treasures and best-kept secrets, Kelsey thought she had discovered everything there was to know about her new home. But as she observed autumn creeping in, she came to the realisation that fall in Warwickshire was even finer than the summer months. Fall. That's what Jonathan calls this time of year. But he isn't here to see it with her. He's been wowing the crowds at an Ontario Shakespeare Festival with his Hamlet. And after Christmas, he'll be heading to California to take up his drama teaching residency for the winter. But he writes, and he video calls. Don't wake up. I'm just taking my stage makeup off before bed and calling to say goodnight. I love you, Kelsey.
Don't go, I'm awake.
Wow, you look good. Jonathan held the phone closer to his face, letting Kelsey see the subtle black eyeliner that deepened his ice-blue eyes, and his messy brown hair lightened a little with dye for playing the Prince of Denmark.
I was going to say the same thing about you. Is it after 6 in Stratford?
Uh-huh, but old habits die hard. I've been up for a while. There was a blackbird going crazy under the oak tree at 6, so I'm already on my first coffee, just listening to him sing. How's the run going?
Kelsey gathered her duvet around her for warmth. Her little garret room at the top of the building, which had been so warm in the summer, was growing chillier by the day.
Pretty good. Full houses, excited crowds. They're a lot more vocal than the Stratford audiences. I forgot about the spontaneous applause and the interaction. You don't get that with English theatre. Tonight, the first row were whooping and hollering when I kissed Ophelia, kind of threw us both.
I can see how that would be distracting. How is Peony? Did she get the postcard I sent her?
Kelsey asked. The confusion of the summer months, when she'd been convinced Jonathan and his co-star and childhood sweetheart were still an item, had been left far behind.
She did. And she's good, too, sends her love. She's kind of pissed I'm leaving the company after our Stratford run of Love's Labour's Lost in the spring, but she gets that I'm ready for a new beginning. Anyways, I'm counting down the days till I fly home to you for the holidays.
Kelsey had never heard Jonathan call Stratford home before, and although it sent a thrill through her, she worried he was counting his work visa chickens before they hatched. He was allowed to stay in England for the spring run, but after that, nobody could know what would happen.
What's today? 9th of October?
He added.
That's only 75 days.
Only?
I'll be home soon, and we'll get to spend a few days of the holidays together. Until then, I'll just have to make sure I catch every English sunrise with you.
Kelsey smiled, listening to his breathing and enjoying the flex of his dimpled jaw when he grinned. For a while, they let the silence speak between them. They could do this, she had found. Just say nothing and be together. Feeling somewhere.